This cassette tape contains Bible teaching regarding revelation and end time truth by David Ebal. The title of this message is Sonship, Abba Father.
What's Abba mean? Abba. Abba. A B B A. Abba.
Abba.
What?
Abba.
Abba
or
Daddy? Spirit of adoption.
God. Abba. Holy. Holy Father.
Papa. Abba.
Daddy.
Abba. Eternal. Is an Aramaic word, the similar to Rosie calling me Daddy. A very personal, showing a very close relationship. I can refer to someone's father, but I probably don't talk about your daddy. I talk about my daddy. Does that make sense to you here? In other words, this word, there are some words, especially in foreign languages, which are in Spanish, some Spanish language words are reserved just for the home, just for very personal relationships in the home. And here's one, Abba, which is Daddy. Well, the best, it probably isn't exactly Daddy, but you get the idea. You see, our word Daddy is probably even a wider usage than that would be. It's a very reserved term for the guy that you climb up on his lap and pull his nose and knock his glasses off and you know, that's what it means. Abba, Father. All right. There are some references to Abba, Father. But before I get to those, I want to remind you that John chapter 17, the whole chapter is all about the Father. And Jesus is speaking directly, man to man, face to face, mouth to mouth, to the Father. I feel that we have not yet fully come into this relationship. In spite of your teaching, in spite of your prayers, I feel that we have not reached the fullness of this relationship. For we are only, even now, still exploring the fullness in Christ. And here we've had 2,000 years to know Jesus and we're still learning to know Him. Right? In fact, there's a book written, The Man Nobody Knows, and it's about Jesus. For we know Him in glimpses and parts, but really, we're still all learning to know Jesus. See what I'm talking about? Now, we do know that the Holy Ghost still hasn't led us all the way. Is anybody that's gone all the way? No. The Holy Spirit is leading your mind and grafting the Word in your soul here and changing you. And I feel that in the realm of God, the Abba, Father, we haven't scratched the surface in this realm. And as far as I can tell, this is the tabernacle. This is yet the next major event that the church is going to go through, the Feast of Tabernacles. For the church has not yet had this feast. The Feast of Tabernacles in the Jewish year, three major feasts, we have not come to that final veil. And when I say we have not come to that final veil, there may be some who by faith and individually have, you know, come up to this. But I'm talking in a very general sense. For instance, the Holy Spirit was upon John the Baptist and upon Elizabeth, upon Mary and Jesus, long before the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit prompted that woman, the old prophetess
Anna
to prophesy over the babe. Do you remember? And these kind of things. And that they had the Holy Spirit even before the Holy Spirit was poured out. Does this make sense to you? All right. Therefore, in these realms, probably there are those who have had glimpses of these things I'm talking about, but not in their fullness. Because I don't believe it's here yet. That this tabernacle experience, and that's the one I want to talk about. Right now I'm talking about Father. And in 17:1, there are references to Father. Let me look it up here, John. Oh, it's throughout the whole thing. We'll just read one or two and then go on. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come, glorify thy Son. The Son may glorify thee. I don't know whether this is true or not, but I don't remember that they ever prayed like that in the Old Testament. They never called him Father. See, this is something for us to do. This is a new relationship. This relationship of God becoming our Father instead of God becoming our judge. Think of that for a minute now. All of your Old Testament relationships were God with a whip. Now it's God with a candy bar.
With a child he loves.
Now it's God the Father. Do you see? Not God with a big white beard and a big long judge, you know, robe and so forth. You know, your pictures of God sitting on as a judge, you know, behind a big bench.
With a white wig on.
God the judge. Well, you know, that's the kind of pictures you get in your mind. That's Old Testament.
I get worse pictures than that. You got fire flying.
And lightning striking everybody and bringing judgment and havoc.
And,
yeah, there's what we went over. Let's see, I forget where. In Stockholm, Sweden, I saw some churches there that had giant pictures. And their concept of God was as a judge. And it showed him throwing bodies of nude people into bottomless pits, you know, that had fire along the side. That's their concept. That's God. But Jesus says, call him Father. I'm showing you a new relationship, the Father relationship. But now let me think for a minute. If God is the Father, what are you? Now, just a minute. That's what got Jesus into all his trouble. When Jesus began to tell everybody that he was a son, they all got very, very mad. So if you start telling people that you're a son, can you expect anything any different? And who's going to get maddest?
Them.
The church leaders. Come on, you guys. The church leaders, the Pharisees, the king, the priests, you know what I'm talking about, are these the heads of the church.
That's my wicked laugh.
They're the ones that are going to be maddest at you because the guy down the street who doesn't study Bible and doesn't care much about it couldn't care less what you call yourself.
Amen. That's right.
But who's going to be mad at you? Well, let me tell you, it's going to be the fundamentals.
Right. Those who profess themselves will be wise.
When you call yourself a son of God, you're going to make the fundamental church mad at you. I'll try to cover that a little later. I plan to get into that a little later.
I believe you become. I didn't make you the same way.
You'll definitely be lashed with a tongue. And now, but let me back up a minute. Is God your father?
Yes.
Well, I'll tell you something. It was only recently that I began to get my eyes open to this, that God was my father. And I've just recently noticed myself in my prayer life, finding out who I pray to. And I find that I don't call him Abba Father, but I still address him according to my former teaching in his holiness, greatness, majesty, and honor.
Heavenly Father.
As a standoffish, as a greeting, as going into someone's court and an initial greeting to a judge or something. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mount Sinai.
Yeah. And I find that this lesson has not become a part of me yet, for my own speech betrayeth me. That although it's coming into my mind first, it's got to get settled in my heart second, and then it'll come out third, and then I'll have a relationship where I say, "Hey, God, look at my leg." Do you remember the story?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like you say, "Hey, Dad, sharpen my pencil." Mm-hmm. Do you ever get anything like that?
You're on God, Dad.
Is it all right to call God Dad? Did Jesus say to call him Father? Mm-hmm. He taught from one end of the other a father-son relationship. Our Father. Let's start in Matthew chapter 6. Then we'll get to Tom's question, is it all right to call him Dad? Matthew 6. Six, nine. Have you got it? After this manner, therefore, this is prayer now, and this is how to talk to God. And Jesus said, when you approach God, thou shalt stand with head bowed, eyes closed, hands folded, and approach him reverently, saying, O thou great creator of the universe, we humbly beseech thee to hear this prayer of thy unworthy servant. Is that what he said? He lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father. Now here he says, when you pray, pray our Father. And you see the difference. One teaches a form of reverence which can be, what's the word I want here? Well, we can find out. We can look at you. We can be observed is the word I want.
Piety.
A form of reverence or piety which can be observed on the outside. Mm-hmm. So what do? We learn to pray like this, right? Head bowed, eyes closed, and hands folded. Talk to him. Like a father. And I find that my church teaching, I'm still having to overcome it. In other words, my religion is keeping me from the Father.
See how lucky I was that I never had a religion? I never had to fight that one.
Does this make sense to you?
Sure does.
Does this make sense? Do you see what I'm saying? Our religion keeps us from establishing this very close, personal, intimate relationship where we call him Father. Yes.
The vain repetition, you don't believe that that would indicate, like, when the spirit of prayer comes on you and you continue to say, thank you, Lord, or thank you, Father, or in that sense of, you don't think it
indicates,
has to do with that repetition in that sense.
That one.
I mean,
repetition is what I'm keen on, the word repetition. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord.
As long as you brought it up, I'll have to tell you what I think. Whether I'm right or wrong, this is what I think. I try to pray and make my petitions known and speak it out and say it once and cut it off. I let my exaltations, my praise, my words of thanksgiving and thank you and praise be spiced in there like salt and pepper. And you see, this is exactly the way it is in the book of Revelation. As we read the anthems and doxologies, as they prayed, they said what they wanted to say, but they kept going with holy, 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 and praise God, and you know, this keeps going and keeps flowing. And in fact, it says that those four created beings stand before God constantly and forever crying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which is and was and is to come. And holy, 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 they say, oh, we're good. You see,
I don't want to sound foolish, but sometimes the enemy will bring things that you learn and not quite learn well enough, you know, from the past. I remember the word repetition, and sometimes the enemy will come and say, well, why do you have to keep saying thank you, Lord, or praise you, Lord? I don't get no voice warning, but the thought...
Sure. All right, well, that's... Now, let me explain this so there's no misunderstanding here. It doesn't matter how you pray, because it teaches in the book of Revelation that God's taking your prayers, storing them in these vials, that he's putting them on this golden altar prayer of incense. He mixes them with the incense and offers them up, and there's a sweet-smelling savor in the nostrils of God. Now, this means that your prayers are changed. So if you do it wrong, don't worry about it, see? And it doesn't matter about the past. But we're trying to develop a spirit. We're trying to develop a mental attitude and a spiritual attitude to increase our intimate relationship. Do you see what I'm talking about?
Okay. When I pray through the Spirit, I know that I'm like done praying because at the end it keeps repeating the same thing over and over.
Kind of like
so
a record, huh?
Now, what he's talking about, then I thank the Lord then for that because then I know I'm through praying.
Mm-hmm. All right, there's a testimony.
Yeah, and if the children are really tickled with something, they say, oh, thank you, Daddy, thank you, Daddy, thank you, Daddy. And they'll say it all night.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's right.
I was waiting for someone to bring it up, and nobody brought it up. Well, I thought I'd better bring it up.
This is not vain. This is not vain. This is holy worship unto the Lord.
Well, this is praise.
Yes.
Yeah, this is praise.
This is what he's talking about. He'd be right if it would just be a matter of talking.
Now, while you're on Romans 8, let me see if I can repeat John 1:12. For as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Let me say that again. As many as received him. Is that you? Have you received him? That's salvation. To them gave he power. What's power a symbol for? Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is always the power. There are plenty of scriptures to prove that. To them gave he power to become. Now there's your James 1:21. The Holy Ghost makes you become something. Don't you see it? To become what?
Son of God.
Jesus, Holy Ghost, and God. Yeah, well.
Is it possible? Now, I'm trying to... I've had thoughts along the same line. I might as well get them out. When, along in the conservative fundamental circles, I fellowshiped for years, when we were saved, they said that you're all the son you're ever going to become. So, in other words, what the Lord has given you along this line is that the relationship becomes more intimate as you enter from the Holy Spirit coming in, that you become, get to know your Father better.
It says, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be
like him.
Did you hear what? Like him. Did you hear what that says? We shall be like him. That means you are going to be perfect. He's coming for a church without spot or wrinkle. Don't you see how this all fits together? Now, this doesn't happen like that.
For it's a progressive. Any more than a baby born is all the son he'll ever become.
Sure he is.
Praise God, that's not true.
Is he a son when he's born?
He's a baby son.
Well, yes, he's sure is. Not worth much.
Sound like Brother Durstein.
But as he gets to learn more, he becomes more and more value and more like a son and more of a son, really, when you get right down to it.
Well, he got Glenn's sons big enough to play ball with, but after a while he'll get big enough to be some help.
He says his 9-month-old son doesn't wear trousers yet.
I have a son that I can send on errands with the car now. Praise the Lord. I didn't always have such a son.
And you also have a son now that can make a little finance for you, too, don't you?
Well, he's...
He can make boats. Look at that.
Would it be necessary?
Well, he's got a lot of him.
Tremendous.
He's growing up.
Yeah.
He's growing up. Are you growing up?
Yes.
Now, this is a concept, this is a basic concept that is different from fundamental circles. For in the fundamental church, the minute you go to the altar and accept Christ as your Savior, you got everything.
Amen. Not
amen,
but I mean, that's what they say.
Right? And this concept is teaching fundamentals. Don't you see the trouble I'm having getting this out? Because we've been taught for 20 years that once you went to the altar, you got everything. And I turn right around and showing you how weak we are, and yet that shouldn't stop us. Praise God, we've got a goal. The mind of Christ. Putting on His image, and we shall be changed. Now, the leading of the Holy Spirit. Progressive act. Making us better. What did you have?
When you say fundamentals, you mean the Catholic, Lutheran, and all that?
No. No.
What do you mean?
All right. Let's establish that for you. Well, the way I generally break the churches down is the fundamental church would be the type of church that you might expect to find a evening evangelistic service in. So if you're in your Lutheran church, you have no evening evangelistic service or no normal altar calls and no polls to get people to, you know, then you wouldn't, I wouldn't generally, now there are always some exceptions, but in the general, I won't use denominations right now, but usually you think of Baptists as being fundamental. And you think of, Free Methodists are, but the Methodist Church is mainline, like I call Lutherans. There's a mainline church, which is your social church, which teaches a social gospel, which teaches people in general how to get along with each other and be good. Put on your smile, wear your goody-goody cap. And this is your social or your mainline, what you call the mainline church. And then, of course, we get off from the mainline even over into the Unitarian, and then we get into the Christian Science and so forth, where they move out of the realm of the Bible into even other things. Missouri Synod would be a fundamental church because it's right down the line. They have altar calls. I think the Wisconsin Synod also has altar calls in the Lutheran realm. And fundamental kind of things. People that, well, usually in a fundamental church, one of the nights every week is devoted to a Bible study. And it's usually well attended. It's usually well attended, you see. Does that help in that realm? Okay. I want to go to Romans.
Dave, before you get too far away, I was looking here under Jehovah. Apparently along with their ritualism and so on, they got so they wouldn't even speak God's name. They substituted other names in the Bible. When they came to Yahweh or Jehovah, they, in retranslating, they were even afraid to address Him directly, so they substituted Lord or other words in place of it. And this was the state in Jesus came. And I guess that was one of the things that made the Pharisees the maddest, really.
Why?
He was on a personal...
For a good work we stone thee not, not but because thou hast...
Blasphemed.
For the blasphemy, because you've called him Father, because you've made yourself equal with God, that's what we're going to bean you for. You remember that?
Yep.
Yes.
Now, you guys are going to get in lots of trouble for calling yourselves sons of God.
We have. Well, supposed we can keep it a secret?
No. We can't.
All right, let me go here. Come on. I got to get to the end of this lesson here. Come on. 8:14, Romans. As many... What's that say? Now remember what it says in John 1:12? To as many as received him, to them gave he
power,
that's your Holy Spirit, to become
sons of God.
Progressive act, sons of God. As many as are led by the
Spirit of God.
Don't you see? Led means progressive. Does your teacher lead you? Progress from the first, second, third, fourth, tenth grade?
Yes.
You're led? Now, that's the realm the church is in today. And if the church was admitted, would admit that they're in this realm, and probably in kindergarten, and quit acting like college grads, I think what I said there. The church is in kindergarten and acting like college grads. Acting like they have a doctorate. Practicing. And they won't admit that they have to be led of the Spirit. For their concept, their basic dogma or doctrine teaches that they smack, they got it all the minute they, you know, they got to the altar and all of a sudden God performed a big operation, opened the brain, poured everything in that you're going to get and sorted it all shut. Am I telling the truth? Isn't that what they teach you? Sure it is. It's a basic concept that once you get to the altar, you got everything God's going to give you, and it's wrong. It's a wrong concept. God is constantly in the business of leading his people along. You know what? He could have taken those Israelites out of Egypt and put them in Canaan the way he took Philip out of Caesarea and took him down to Gaza Strip. Like that. He could have easily done that. Do you think there's any less power? Of course not. But he didn't. He led them. Right? And he taught them on the way. Is that what's happening to you? Now, the reason for the trouble you're in, count it all joy when you follow into divers temptations. Knowing is for your perfecting. Now, we told you before, it is possible to become perfect. And I know that this is normally not taught in church circles. They teach you can't be perfect, so give up on that. You can too. And there's only going to be one church that he'll come for, a perfect church without spot or wrinkle.
For the second part of this message by David Ebal, entitled Sonship, Abba Father, please stop your machine and turn this cassette over.